We're doing the Sefer Amidot, and we're up to page Resh Pei Aleph. And the Magen Midovna had described in this chapter that there are people who are God-fearing people, but they also worry about nature and other causes in the world, and they will repeatedly tell you that obviously we know God controls the world, but at the end of the day, He did set up a system. And we do have verses in the Torah that indicate we should work within that system. And being that system is what directly affects us, so it's only natural that we should be careful and focus on working well within that system. And so they'll tell you, why do you think you should have faith in God when at the end of the day, you don't find God dropping bread from heaven? Obviously, He wants you to work within the system. So they're right on one level, but their error is grave nonetheless, and the Magen Midovna is about to explain what happens when you have such an approach. Rishona, firstly, we're on page Resh Pei Aleph. Hine anashim keile, gam ki yirat Hashem al pneim levilti echtu ligzol velashok leramot k'masei chenef u'meira. Such people, even though they are God-fearing people, so they won't steal, they won't cheat, they won't deceive, v'hem yachiku atzma mizeh kasher machikim min hanachash, and they'll be very careful. They'll stay as distant from such sins as one stays distant from a snake. And thievery in their eyes is like eating pork, which Magen Midovna says is tasty, and nonetheless, people stay away from it. Because God said, no eating pork. So we don't eat pork, and these people will stay away from pork. By the same token, they think of thievery and cheating, dealing unfairly in business. They think to themselves, that's a tasty thing, I wish I could. Nonetheless, they distance themselves from it. The Torah says, you're not allowed to withhold payment from your friend, you're not allowed to steal. Either because the Torah doesn't want the person who got robbed to lose, or for whatever other reason. But it's very difficult for them to keep the mitzvos of being honest. Because if I view the world as a world where the laws of nature have a great force, they play a great role in what's happening here, so then I'm also going to think, you know, if I'd steal, I'd be successful. I can't steal because God told me not to. But I at the end of the day, if I feel that nature is what's at play, so then survival of the fittest. Deep down inside, I keep thinking, if only I could, I would be ahead in the game. And so if I view the world as a world where, yeah, I have to be a God-fearing person, I don't eat pork, so I don't steal, but I would like to eat pork, and I would like to steal, because that would get me ahead in the game. So people like this are also careful to give their charity. One of the times where one's supposed to be careful to give charity is on a fast day, so they do that. They'll also be careful to fast properly. And even though when you give charity, you have less in your hand at the end of the day, you're losing something by it. But people with such an attitude will be careful to give charity because God told us to do so. They say, okay, God told me to do that, maybe to satiate the hungry, to help him out, or for whatever other reason God said to do that. But at the end of the day, they keep telling themselves, I would have more money if I didn't give this charity. But they say, I'm going to take control of myself and give charity nonetheless. So if that's one's attitude to the world, where God is so distant and, excuse the term, irrelevant, where I have to obey Him, but He has nothing to do with the laws of nature within which we live, so then He is a hindrance. God's commandments are a pain in the neck. I would love to hold on to my money, and God tells me to give charity. I would love to cheat and steal, and God tells me I can't. So I'm going to obey, because I'm a God-fearing person. But if I believe as he said earlier, in this philosophy. So then I say to myself, I'm doing it, but I'm losing by it. I'd be better off if I didn't do it. So then the workload of doing God's commandments becomes very heavy. So then all of life becomes a difficult task. Boy, is it difficult to be Jewish. He carries the yoke of the service of God, like one carries a heavy load on his shoulder. And suddenly, the mitzvos have no happiness and have no love. And even though a person might smile as he does a mitzvah, he could give the charity with a smile, he'll show, open up Shulchan Aruch. I'll tell you here, it says you're supposed to smile. But what's in his heart? In his heart, he's mourning. He says, gee, I wish I had that money.
Because
you can't really overcome your heart. If you decided that you like cheating other people, that's what you want, so then it's hard to help other people. And then one's righteousness is not eternal. As Maimonides writes, when Maimonides is describing the difference between one who takes control of himself and one who is extraordinarily pious, this is what Maimonides writes over there. This is Maimonides, we discussed this earlier when we began the chapter on Bitachon. This is Maimonides in Shmona Prakim. Maimonides has 8 chapters introducing Pirkei Avot. And Maimonides over there questions, how do you compare one who's extra pious and one who takes control of himself? One who says, I'd love to eat pork, but the Torah tells me not to. And one who says, I have no interest in pork. Would you say, you should say, I have no interest in eating pork? No, the Talmud says it's good if you say, I'd love to eat pork, but I take control. And what happens if a person says, you know, I'd love to have you for supper, but I'm not a cannibal, you know. Torah says I can't. Then you don't say, oh, you're a wonderful person. You say, I don't want to be caught alone in a room with you. You know, that's what you should say. So why, says the Rambam, how do you decide which mitzvos you say it's positive to say, I wish I could, but the Torah said I can't? And which mitzvos you say, I don't even want to do that?
We have a really long discussion.
What?
We had a really long discussion.
Yes. Yes, we did. So now he's quoting the Rambam. This is what the Rambam says over there. אבל אמרו שהמשה בנפשו כחסיד בעניינים רבים ומעלתו למטה ממנו ברכך להיותו מתהווה לפועל הרע. When someone takes control over his desires in many areas, we say he's just like the pious. He's a little less than him because he wants to do evil. ואף על פי שאינו עושה אותו, even though he doesn't do it. מפני שתשוקתו לרע היא תכונה רעה בנפש. Because at the end of the day, a person who tells you, you know, I have to contain myself from killing, from stealing, from hurting. So then you say, poor guy, he's got an evil soul. I feel bad for him. I admire him that he takes control. I value him that he takes control and he has great merits in the world to come. But at the end of the day, that's not the ideal soul that you'd like to have. That's not the personality you'd like to have. We don't always have a choice. Some people are born and they want to kill.
Question is, you know, the guy who we think is beyond that, maybe if he had his same teva, he'd be in the same place, and maybe the one in the next world will have a higher place.
Right, in that sense, yes. וכבר אמר שלמה המלך עליו השלום כיצא בזה, נפש רעשה יוותה רע. And King Solomon says, the soul of the wicked desires wicked. We want to have a soul that doesn't desire it. It's true, if we have a soul that does desire wickedness, we have to take control of that soul. And if we really take control of that soul, then as Aviel said, we might be on a much higher level than someone else.
Someone who's a tzaddik, like has these inclinations to kill and steal, he's so much work than these evil midot that he is like to become a great person.
Yeah. If you remind me on Thursday night, try to find, there's a Tiferes Yisrael that discusses that. He quotes a Shittam Kubetzes that quotes a story which really appears in Greek literature, but I don't know who got it first, if the Midrashim, you know, who took whose idea. Because our sources on this one are post-Greek literature. Sometimes the Greek literature took stuff from our Midrashim. But here, I don't know of a source that predates the Greek literature that we have on it. We have the Shittim Kubetzes quotes a story. Remind me on Thursday night. We have to discuss it.
Is there someone in modern history that we could say was a person like this?
The Chafetz Chaim said about himself.
He said that he wanted to kill people?
Not kill people, but he said he's really an impatient person. He said that he took control over his anger. He said he was an angry person, and he was known as the sweetest, kindest, gentlest person, and he said that that wasn't his nature. Chafetz Chaim said he had to work on it.
I'm interested, some sorcerer, somebody drew Moshe Rabbeinu.
Right, so that's what we'll talk about Thursday night. Right. Yeah. You see that the Rambam says, one who desires evil actions is called a Rasha. Wait a second. He didn't do anything wrong. The verse says he desires it. It doesn't say he does it. King David says, I despise those that love thievery, those that love stealing from others. So a guy says, I don't do it. And the classical example for this is, in modern days, a pedophile. Who wants to live in the same building as a pedophile? But he'll tell you he's cured. And you'll say, right, today. What's tomorrow? I don't know. So I don't want to live next door to him. The Magen Midvina says, sometimes that's considered a problem in one's heart. And the perfect allegory for this is, person shows up with a machine gun to one's door and says, give me everything you own. Does the guy who's giving over everything he owns, is he really giving up on it? He keeps thinking to himself, when will I get a machine gun? Right? What does the person think? So right now, he's got my stuff. But one of these days, I'll get the right weapons. I'll get stronger and I'll take over. Or maybe he'll lose his machine gun and then I'll overtake him. And then he's going to find me at his doorstep. I'm going to take back everything that's mine. I'm going to regain everything that was taken from me. So the Magen Midvina explains, we need to shift our hearts. We don't have control over where our starting point is. But we do have control over where we're headed. If a person lives his life and he keeps having these improper desires and he doesn't deal with them and he doesn't shift his heart, so then his attitude is, I wish I could, but I won't. That's not a way to live life. If you're living life thinking, I wish I could, be it the pedophile, be it the guy who'd love to be a murderer, a thief, a gangster. If a person's mind is there, then he has a problem. And I'll add to the Magid Midovna, the Torah, one of the mitzvos that always strikes me is that when it says in the Ten Commandments, Lo tachmod, don't covet. It doesn't say don't rape. It says don't covet. Wait a second. It doesn't say don't commit adultery. It also says that, okay. But the Torah says don't even desire it. So the Torah in the Ten Commandments is going to the root of the matter. Where is our heart? And we can control our hearts. So a person, when he's doing something and deep down inside, he's not whole with it. So then what happens when the pressures build up? I have an allegory that I've been saying for years. I start hearing it quoted back to me. Imagine you're sitting in a classroom, taking a test, you're trying to be focused, and a little fly starts buzzing next to your ear. So you're flicking at it, and you try to focus on your test, and you're okay. And it comes back, and you flick at it again, and you're okay. And as you're contending with this fly next to your left ear, another fly comes and starts buzzing by your right ear. Now it's becoming a little bit more annoying. So you flick this one, you flick that one, you flick this one, you flick that one. And you're sitting there trying to focus on your test, and you're starting to get annoyed. And as you're starting to get annoyed, there's a drip right above you that every 30 seconds starts dripping on your head. Boom. 30 seconds later, another drip. So again, you wipe your forehead, you flick to the left, you flick to the right, you try focusing on your test. As you're flicking, you suddenly feel an ant crawling up your leg. Now, there's each one of those nuisances is minor. But when you put them together, you could imagine the guy, when the ant is crawling up his leg, storm out of his chair and go, I got it, I can't take it anymore. And everyone looks at him and says, what happened? And he says, an ant was crawling up my leg. And they look at him and they say, take a chill. Hey, buddy, what happened? So an ant's crawling up your leg. Right, you don't understand. There was a fly next to my ear. So there's a fly next to you, but there was another one. No, okay, we have a limit. I say there's a limit to how many flies you could have flying next to your ears. Meaning, and in life, we have to realize that we usually are contending with one or two or three flies next to our ears, using the allegory. Meaning there's a certain number of things that are annoying us at any given moment. It could be a conversation with a friend. It could be something you want. It could be the fact that the air conditioning is on. It could be the guy sitting next to you didn't take a shower in 3 days. There are a million little things that affect us. Different people are bothered by different things, but we can contend with one, two, three. As they build up, you start losing your patience with people and your patience with life, and suddenly things that were easy beforehand, like smiling and having patience for the guy next to you, suddenly they become tedious. And at different stages in life, there are different things that annoy us, and then they make life more difficult. And then the things that we're trying to accomplish, especially when we're talking about character building, suddenly we don't have the strength to do that. Suddenly a person finds himself having a difficult time keeping Shabbos. Wait a second, you have a hard time keeping Shabbos? Yeah, I have a hard time keeping Shabbos. You know how many flies are buzzing around my ears? So it's not the flies. It's the parent who yelled at him. It's the roommate who yelled at him. It's a million frustrations, but they build up. So you can deal with each one on its own level, but when you have to deal with all of them, suddenly you lose patience, and then you lose strength, and then you give in. And the question is, where do you give in? So the Magen Midovna says, oh, that's very nice. This guy, he's contending very nicely. He hasn't killed anyone today. I told the story, I had a guy walk into the office once and he sits down and slams his hand on the table and says, it's been 3 weeks and I haven't punched anyone in the face. And I'm thinking, okay, right, why start now? What's he coming to tell me? He says, I'm in the Mahon 3 weeks and you know how much I've accomplished? I haven't yet punched anyone. But, okay, I was getting a little scared. Big guy. So the Magen Midovna says, okay, so he's if he hasn't shifted his heart, so then what happens when things start piling up? And then suddenly he'll find himself going the opposite route he's been going until now. Not only that, it's going to lead him to chase after wealth, waste his time over it. He'll find himself no longer learning Torah, davening, doing the service of Hashem. And sometimes people even make errors in judgment because they're so focused on that the causes within nature. Because when you love something, you don't find anything wrong with it. It's very hard to find fault with what you like. As our sages said, our sages say, when does a person attain the level that he says, I hate gifts, and then he lives? That's a person who slaughters his own animal, looks at it and says, that's not kosher. No one's going to know. He slaughtered the animal, and he can say whether it's kosher or not kosher. Now, we have to understand, when you slaughter an animal, that's usually enough meat for a whole year for a family. We don't slaughter our own animals. It shocked me too. I spoke to a shochet this past Shabbos, and he told me that you shecht one animal, you have enough meat for the whole year. I never realized that an animal has so much meat. I don't know if he was talking about a cow or a sheep. I thought he was talking about a sheep, but maybe he was talking about a cow. No. He said it. Okay, whatever.
One statement that didn't ring true, I think when you love something, you certainly focus on their virtues and you forgive them, but you certainly can find fault. I mean, your parents can find fault in you can find fault in your kids. Even more so than when you're like infatuated, then you know. So I think you see the faults, but you just don't focus on them. think it's a big difference.
Fine, I think, I also think that he went, he gave a...
Okay.
I agree with you that the sentence is an exaggerated sentence.
It can make someone feel that if I see some the flaws, that means I don't love them. That's why
right.
I just think
I agree.
That's
I agree with you on that. Agreed. So he says, if we don't shift our hearts, if it's all external, but deep down inside I tell myself if I would do different, it would be different. If I would only work on Shabbos, I'd make more money. If I would only cheat on my taxes, I'd be well, I'd be better off. Well, says the Magen Midovna, you end up spending a life of difficulty. Judaism becomes a tedious task. And then you never know when you'll have those moments of weakness, when you won't live up to the task. So one of the key points to work on and to focus on is shifting our attitude, our viewpoint. We're still going to explain the errors that are involved in those who focus on the causes within nature and hold real tight to that and listen up. We'll continue. So what we learned in this chapter was the idea that Judaism is difficult. A person always spends his time thinking, I wish I could. And then there will be moments when he actually will fall because his desires are focused there. And if his desires are focused there, then he will be more apt to see it in a positive light. The whole idea of stealing or cheating is going to seem more positive to him, even though he will repeatedly stand up to the test time and again until the time that he doesn't. So that's he says that's the first in this chapter. That's what he covered as far as the difficulties, the problems with that type of attitude. And Bezrat Hashem, next time we'll pick up with the seventh chapter.